Amen, Brother Jarvis. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Joy to be in this meeting, and thank the Lord. Okay, I'll turn it on. All right. Get everything wired up here. Got to get the right hearing aids in. Have one set to listen with, one set to preach with. See, I always want to make sure I put this set in when I preach, because I won't have, there will be no loss for words, because these are my wife's. They're not on.
It's on. It's too low. All right.
After preaching for a little over 4 to 7 years, you'd think you'd have all this figured out, but I guess not. Reminds me of these three Indians that went deer hunting, but one of them was mentally retarded. So this first Indian, he went out and killed a deer, brought him back into the camp. The mentally retarded Indian said, "How'd you do that?" Indian said, "Me find tracks. Me follow tracks. Boom. Me get deer." So the mentally retarded Indian said, I see. So that next Indian, the second Indian, went out and he killed a deer and brought his deer back into the camp. And so the mentally retarded Indian once again said, "How'd you do that?" And the Indian said, "Me find tracks. Me follow tracks. Boom. Me get deer." So the mentally retarded Indian said, I see. Then he said, "I'm going to go kill a deer." So he went out to kill a deer, and it was a long time before he came back. When he finally came back, he was bandaged from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and he was on crutches. The other two Indians says, "What happened to you? What in the world happened to you?" The mentally retarded Indian said, "Me find tracks. Me follow tracks. Boom! Me get hit by a train." Amen, brother mine. Maybe I shouldn't have told that one. We may have to read the book of Leviticus, get you calmed down before I bring the message. All right. Would you stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 6. So good to see so many friends here, and all you men of God, we love you, and thank God for you. We're in this battle together, and it sure is a battle. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he, that is Jesus, was praying, and this is one of 7 occasions in Luke's gospel alone, in which you find our Lord praying. So the obvious is obvious, he really prayed. The Bible said he was praying in a certain place. When he sees one of his disciples, said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray." As John also taught his disciples. Now turn back to Matthew's gospel. Luke's gospel says basically the same thing that Matthew's gospel says about this prayer. But Matthew's account is more thorough. So we'll turn back to Matthew chapter 6, and I'll begin reading with verse 5. Jesus said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6, one of my favorite prayer promises. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward the opening. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for the much speaking. Did you notice in verse 5 he said, when thou prayest? Verse 6, when thou prayest? Verse 7, when you pray. Not one time did he say, if. He took it for granted that we are going to pray. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them. That is, don't be like the hypocrites in verse 5 or the heathen in verse 7. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. You say, well, preacher, if God knows what we have need of before we ask him, then why ask him? Well, that just means he knows you have need of. It doesn't mean you and I get it. James said you have not because you ask not. Verse 9, after this manner. Notice the word manner. In other words, after this pattern. This is not a prayer to be recited down in the school so much as it is a guide to help you and I to know how to commence, continue, and consummate our prayer. He's teaching us how to pray here. So our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What beautiful words. You may be seated. I'll lead us in a word of prayer. As I pray audibly, would you pray in your heart right there where you're sitting, ask God to bless. Only God can make this service what it ought to be. I'm going to preach with the help of God this morning on Lord, teach us to pray. Now, Father, our Father and our God, which art in heaven, God, thank you again. We can call you our Father. And Father, again, I thank you. You do more than just wear the title. Thank you, really, our Father to us. God in heaven, Father, I thank you. We are all your people and the sheep of your pasture, and the Lord our shepherd. Oh, God, how great thou art. You're great and great to be praised. You're everything the Bible says you are. Thank you, dear God, to Jesus who makes all this possible. And Jesus, you truly are the best thing ever happened to us, ever will happen to us. And God in heaven, Father, we thank you there's one God, there's one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for bridging the gap between us and unholy people and your holy God, an awesome God. Oh, God, again, how great thou art. Be thou exalted in heaven and earth, on earth. Be thou exalted in the service. Be thou exalted in our churches, our homes, in our hearts. Oh, God, get maximum glory out of our life. Get glory out of the service now. Anoint the other men of God with the power of the Holy Ghost they preach. Father, you know, we're very, very conscious of the fact that all is vain lest the Spirit of the Holy One come down. So God, in Jesus' name, pour out the Holy Ghost. Pour out your Spirit. Come upon us and hold out. God, give us liberty. Make it easy to preach. And I beg you, Father, in Jesus' name, God, please see to it that everyone that has come gets spiritual help. Please, God, touch and bless everyone in here now. If it's one in here lost, God, in Jesus' name, save that soul. Give us a greater burden, a greater love for lost souls in these last days. Help stand between the living and the dead, stand in the gap, make up the hedge. God, in Jesus' name, please give Jesus soul for our labor. And God, we'll thank you. Oh, come, Holy Ghost, right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know all that John taught his disciples, but it's apparent from Luke chapter 11 that he did teach his disciples how to pray. And I don't know of a greater request that you or I or anybody else could make than, Lord, teach us to pray. Truth of the matter is, if we could really learn how to get a hold of God in prayer, really learn how to pray, a lot of other things would take care of themselves. John Henry Jowett, the great English preacher, said, I'd rather teach one man how to pray than 10 men how to preach. Lord, teach us to pray. That's what I'm preaching on with the help of God. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, by way of introduction, I want to give you some quotes on prayer that's meant a lot to me over the years before I get into the body of the message. Someone said our prayers must mean something to us if they're going to mean anything to God. Someone said 7 days without prayer makes 1 week, W-E-A-K. Phillips Brooks says prayer is not conquering God's reluctance but taking hold of God's willingness. John Bunyan said, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. And someone said, if Christians spend as much time praying as they do grumbling, they would soon have nothing to grumble about. Someone said, prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. Someone said, none can pray well but he that lives well. It reminds me of what the great evangelist who shook America with one hand, England with the other hand, said. I'm talking about D.L. Moody. He said, a sinning man will stop praying, but a praying man will stop sinning. They just don't go together. See, the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. J. Sidlow Baxter, great Bible teacher and author, said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons. He said, but they're helpless against our prayers. I don't know who said this, but this is one of my favorite. Someone said, when you cannot pray as you would, pray as you can. I love that. Because there are times when we cannot pray as we would. There are times when it's hard to pray. The great Baptist preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said, he said, when it's hard to pray, he said, pray harder. Reminds me of the great author and Bible teacher, William Graham Scroggie. He said, pray when you don't feel like it. Pray when you do feel like it. How true that is. So when you cannot pray as you would pray as you can, it reminds me of the great missionary, J. Hudson Taylor, who opened up the interior of China to the gospel. Someone said, and this has been so much help to me. Someone said, Hudson Taylor, do you always have conscious joy when you pray? He said, well, no. He said, sometimes my heart's like wood. But you get this. He said, some of the greatest answers to prayer that I've ever received was when I prayed with no conscious joy at all. Amen. See, the Bible didn't say, be it under your corn, your feet, and said, be it under your corn, your faith. The Bible didn't say, without feet, it's impossible to please God. It said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I mean, if my children, for my children were just kids, if they came up to me and said, Daddy, would you give me $5 to go to McDonald's or $10 to go to the Cracker Barrel? I didn't say, well, wait a minute, let me see how you feel. No, I started reaching for my wallet. Well, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things unto them that ask him? Yes, God help us, just ask and believe when we do. Victor Hugo said, those who always pray are necessary for those who never pray. Someone said, they who have steeped the souls in prayer can never anguish bear. Someone said, prayer moves the hand, moves the whole world. And that reminds me of what one of D.L. Moody's contemporaries, R.A. Torrey, said. He said, prayer can do anything that God can do. We're not praying in the dark. We're not just praying into the regions beyond. We're praying to God. Our God's alive. Our God's real. And our God hears and answers prayer. Amen. It's not changed. It's just as much God now as it was when He created the sun, Shammai, the moon and stars, the Shammai. Just as much God now as it was when He saved your soul. Amen. Someone said, well, it was the great theologian John Owen, the Puritan. He who prays as he ought will endeavor to live as he prays. Then John Newton said, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his great and power such none could ask too much. Well, amen. I want us to notice, first of all, if we're going to pray biblically, pray scripturally, there must be relationship. Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. That denotes relationship. See, there was a time when I could not say, our Father, which art in heaven. But thank God, 47 years ago, this past July, on a Wednesday morning about 9:30, God reached further down than I could reach up, and God saved my soul. And I'm glad, thank God, this morning I can say, our Father, which art in heaven. And I'm glad that He does more than just wear the title. He really is a Father to us. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven. There's only one way that you can look between the clouds and beyond the blue into the third heaven where the abode of God is and say, our Father, that is that you belong to the Father. You've got to be saved. Ye must be born again. See? No, I didn't get saved when I joined the church and got baptized. I got saved when I saw the lost sinner going to hell, and I turned from sin and received Christ, and God saved me. Hallelujah. I was a church member for years before I got saved. Yes, my cousin, one of my cousins, Rodney Calhoun, he wasn't a preacher. He was a farmer, but he was a very studious man. He had a lot of books, and he really studied. And he wrote a tract, and he started to write a second tract. He never did get around to it, but he told me what the title would have been. You too, church member, need to be born again. You know, most of the people get saved in the meetings I preach in are church members. That's right. That's right. Folks, it's going to take more than a mental sin to get you and out of heaven. There's got to be repentance and faith in Christ. Amen. Anyway, I heard there must be a relationship. Secondly, there must be reverence. Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yeah. Reverence. Reverence. Reminds me so much of the angels around the throne of God. They're up there crying, holy, holy, holy. Must be reverence. There's a man back years ago. He sang in the nightclubs, I think, on Saturday night and sang in church on Sunday. I don't have no use for that. I hope you don't either. I hope you're still standing straight like you used to. I don't mean any harm, but I'm telling you what, this is an age of compromise. That's right. But anyway, coming back where we were. Okay, I'm getting old. I lost my train of thought. I'll go ahead. But there must be reverence. Must be reverence. Hallowed be thy name. Amen. Yes, I got it now. But this fella, he used to sing that song, put your hand in the hand of the man. Well, I just want to tell you, he's not a handshaking God. He's a holy God. When Moses approached the burning bush, God didn't say, come on, Moses, old boy, let's shake hands. God said, you put your shoes from off your feet, for the ground whereon you stand is holy ground. Amen. Our God is a holy God. And holiness without, the Bible says, no man shall see God. God said, be ye holy, for I'm holy, saith the Lord. Amen. There must be reverence. Now, if you and I are going to reverence God, then first of all, on a mission, we need to get an audit with God, and then there's the approach to God. And I'm fixing to share two aspects with you that changed my prayer life, and I'm just a learner. I'm a country boy raised between the cotton rows and in the watermelon patch in South Georgia, so I need all the help I can get. But I'll never forget, after I got saved, I went over to see my Aunt Mamie Calhoun. She was the first one to come to the altar that morning when God saved my soul. Then my mama came and I got saved. My Aunt Mamie was a prayer warrior. Everybody in our church knew Aunt Mamie could get a hold of God. She was spirit-filled, and she spent a lot of time in prayer. Now, she was the last person I wanted to see before I got saved. She's a great big old woman, and she was plain spoken. She see me on like on a Saturday before Sunday, and she would say, "You better be in church tomorrow, the devil's going to get you." Oh, man, that'd make me so mad. But after I got saved, all that changed. She lived in a great big old spacious house by herself. I went over to the house and knocked on the door. She said, "Come in." I went in the house, hadn't been talking to Aunt Mamie long before she went in another room and came back in and handed me a little paperback book. I think it was 39 cents then, $5.95 now. But it's still in print, I think. It was called How to Pray by R.A. Torrey. One of the best books on prayer I've ever read in my life. One chapter in that book, to me, is worth the price of the book many times over. He talked about praying unto God. He talked about getting an audit with God. And me being just an old ignorant country boy, I thought, what in the world does he mean, get an audit with God? Well, I just kept reading, and here's what that man said. And by the way, he prayed hours and hours, so he knew what he's talking about. He said, by getting an audit with God, he said, I mean before you say a word. Before you utter a word, he said, you make sure that your mind's more on God than what you're going to talk to God about. I said, boy, I believe there's something to that. Amen. Then he went on to say, well, preacher, isn't all prayer unto God? He said, no. He said, much of our praying is addressed more to what we want than to God. So I said, well, I got to put this in the, try to put this into practice. So I'd get on my knees. I'd say, oh, God, help me get my mind more on you than what I'm praying about. And I'm telling you, I went through about 2 weeks of mental anguish trying to get my mind more on God than what I was praying about. But finally, God helped me to get it down. And I sent an anointing of God to pray that I hadn't sent before. So I knew then there was something to it. So I tried to practice that for all these years ever since, stand and preach on it, hoping other people could utilize that and get help, see. But then this next aspect helped me more than that. That's the approach to God. The approach to God. And I learned that in a classic. A great book that was written by a great author and preacher, Martin Lloyd Jones, used to pastor Westminster Chapel in London, England. And I was reading in that book, came to that section on prayer, because see, this is in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he said, there are those who argue over whether there are 6 or 7 petitions in this prayer. He said, that's not the important thing. He said, the order of this prayer is what's important. And when he said that, he got my attention, because I'd never heard that before. So I kept reading. He said, notice the order of this prayer. It doesn't start with man. It starts with God. Amen. It doesn't start with give me. Give me, give me, like for an example, give us this day our daily bread. No, it starts with glory, glory, glory. Hallowed be thy name. That's where it starts. So our prayers must begin with praise instead of petition. Our prayers must begin with adoration instead of asking. See, the Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 3, that God inhabits the praises of Israel. God lives in an enthronement of praise. You get in a service, and when does God oftentimes show up? When does God manifest his presence? When people are singing praise to him. See, praise get the attention of God. See, so I thought, boy, there's something to that. Now I got to learn how to put that in practice. So I'd get out, and before I'd ask God for one thing, I'd try to pray something like this. And I'm going to share this, if you don't mind. Hoping maybe it'll be of some help to you. I'm just doing it because I want to be some help. Like I said, I always need a lot of help. But I like to start out like this. Oh, God, our Father, and our God, which art in heaven, God, Hallowed be thy name, sanctified, set apart from all others be thy name. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, which is to come. The whole earth is full of thy glory. Heaven is thy throne. Earth is thy footstool. The clouds are the dust of thy feet. Thou art he that setteth upon the circle of the earth. Thou art he that walked upon the wings of the wind. Thou art he that walked upon the waves of the sea. Thou art he that upholdeth all things by the word of thy power. By thee all things consist. See, I ain't asked for a thing yet. Woo! Amen. You ought to bring the power of God, the anointing of God down on your prayer. Praise Him. Praise Him. Yes, hallelujah. Thank God, glory. It's good to pray for God to send revival. It's good to pray for God to save souls. But that's not first base. No. You start praising Him and thanking Him. Boy, you'll be on praying ground in a minute. See, it's one thing for me to get up here and tell you to pray, but it's a horse of another color for me to get up here and tell you how to pray. I think a lot of us would be more motivated to pray if we knew how to pray. That's right. What I heard. Next of all, there must be reality. See, there's no reality in that kind of praying you find in verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. There's no reality in that kind of praying. Say, no, we don't want to pray to be seen and heard of men. We want to pray to be seen and heard of God. See, Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, when thou shut the door. See, pray to thy Father which is in secret. See, we're to pray to God. See, forget the people and just pray to God. See, when I think of reality in prayer, I think of James 5:16. The effects of fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word fervent there means coming to the boiling point. When I think of reality in prayer, I think of Elijah. The Bible tells us in James 5:17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed honestly that it might not rain. And it rained not by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. Prayed earnestly. He prayed fervently. When I think of reality in prayer, I think of our Lord, who being in an agony, prayed more earnestly till his sweat was as great drops of blood falling to the ground. We need some fervent praying going on this day. Brother Bobby Leonard's preaching a meeting at our church this week. And I was there last night. And he preached on Hannah from 1 Samuel chapter 1. And he talked about how Hannah poured out her soul before the Lord. The whole message was basically upon that one statement, that she poured out her soul before the Lord. Boy, we need that kind of praying. This country's going to hell. Our churches need revival. We need some people in these days who cry mightily to God. Or as Toy said in his day and time, and if it was true then, it's more true now. He said, if we don't have revival, he said, some of your children are going to hell. Now, I believe that. This Bible tells us that God wondered, God marveled that there was no intercessor. This Bible tells us that God sought for man to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, that he should not destroy the land, but he couldn't find anybody. Oh my, we need some prayer warriors in these days. Prayer warriors. Yes, when I think of reality in prayer, I think of Psalm 55:17. But the psalmist said, evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Folks, there ain't nothing wrong with getting down and agonizing with God and get up a sweat when you pray. We need that in these days. Bad. Bad. See, oh, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. When I think of reality in prayer, I think of what Spurgeon said. He said, the prayer of the heart's the heart of prayer. John Bunyan, who wrote that great classic, Pilgrim's Progress, he said, rather let your heart be without words than for your words to be without heart. I know of nothing you and I can become more mechanical at than bread. Just going through the form. Just going through the motions. God help us put a heart in it. It takes discipline. You'll have to spend time in the Word and have to listen, have to stay out of sin too. Keep your heart clean. See? And, but there is an anointing to pray as well as to preach. I said there is an anointing to pray as well as to preach. Jews said, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, prayer in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And by the way, that's praying in English. I ain't talking about this mumble jumble stuff you see on television. That's a wildfire. The next of all, there must be retirement if we're going to pray biblically and scripturally. Again, that's verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There must be retirement. You say, well, preacher, I'm too busy to pray. Then you're too busy. You're not going to do anything any more important today or tomorrow or the next day than pray, folks. And Jesus meant what he said when he said what he did. Watch and pray, lest you enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're living in critical times. My heart aches and hurts. Because I got friends that I used to preach for and preach with that are not even in the ministry now. And some that are just struggling. But folks, I'm going to tell you something or other. I challenge you to do your homework. I don't think you'll find a man of God in this country who prays consistently and often who has got it in sin. If you get out the Word and get out the prayer closet, then I fear for you. I fear for you. You just don't realize the battle we're in, friend. I mean, the devil hates especially us preachers, and he's trying to destroy everyone else he can. The greatest, most powerful preacher that I ever met in my life, and he was one of my heroes, was Dr. Percy Ray. I loved him. I knew that man personally. I knew what it was to get in all that Camp Zion, and that man draped that big old body and them arms over my back and pray for me there in that altar. And Percy Ray, I was listening to one of his messages here just recently that he preached years ago because he's been in heaven for years now. But here's what Dr. Ray said. He said, I'm 67 years old. And that was years ago now. And he said, the devil's meaner to me now than it was when I was 21 years old. Well, I can say the same thing. You say, well, the devil don't bother me. Well, maybe you ain't bothering the devil. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, said the devil never kicks a dead horse. You get on fire for God, quit playing church, get full of the Holy Ghost of God, make business with God, you're going to find out there's a devil out there. And you're going to have to have all the help from God you can get, or the devil will overthrow you. 1 Peter 5:8 means what it says when it says what it does. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Not just defeat, but devour. The Bible tells us the devil's a murderer from the beginning. The devil would love to kill every one of us, preacher. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Oh, we need to learn how to pray. So there must be retirement. And I want to share some things with you here. I hope I'll be of some help. I believe this is the most sacred posture, but it's not the only posture. There are people right here in the service that probably can't even get on their knees because of their health, and God don't expect that. He's not a taskmaster. He's not a slave driver. I believe that's the most sacred posture, but it's not the only posture. Solomon went in the house of God, stretched his hands out before the Lord. David went in the house of God. The Bible said he sat before the Lord. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane fell prostrate upon the ground and prayed in agony. The posture's not the important thing. It's the heart. Your heart. some of the greatest prayer warriors I've ever met spent much of their time praying, walking. Gerald Wall Smith used to pastor People's Church in Toronto, Canada, the church that gave millions of dollars to missions. He said sometimes I'd get so sleepy when I was on my knees praying until he said I devised a remedy to solve that problem. He said I went to one of my rooms and pushed all the furniture back out of the way against the walls. And he said I'd just walk and pray. If you don't stay prayed up, you'll probably have to utilize all the postures. See? My, at the time that we waste, the Bible says, walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You get a whole lot of praying done behind the wheel of your automobile. Yes, amen. I don't want to be a hypocrite. God knows my heart. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to practice what I preach. But I know what it is to pray for hours and hours behind the wheel of my automobile. Going to meetings. When the meeting's over and I get under that wheel, normally the first thing I do is start praying. Because one of the most dangerous times in your life and my life is right after a good meeting. Yes, devil won't take it sitting down. You have a good meeting and a move of God, you better put the arm of God on because the devil's going to show up. So I believe this is the most sacred posture, but it's not the only posture. I believe this is the most sacred place. Jesus said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but it's not the only place. Thank God you can pray in your house too. Woo! Some of the best times I've ever had praying has been right there in the house. Right there in the house. I like to kneel right there at the couch and pray. I like to read the Bible and then go get on my knees and pray. Pray. But there's so many places you can pray to help you stay prayed up. Like one man of God said to another, he said, I'll meet you praying. See? Man, you can pray in your house, you can pray in your backyard, your front yard, you can pray anywhere. You can pray in your garden, you can pray in the pine thicket. You might better be careful you pray in the pine thicket. That's where I got bit by a bunch of ticks about years ago praying in a pine thicket and came down with tick fever and nearly killed me too. But I'm just saying there's all kinds of places to pray. I remember one time I was pushing a meeting below Tallahassee, Florida, and you preachers know what I'm talking about. I'd reached back to get it, but I couldn't get it. Man, it was hard, tough. I thought, well, I got to go somewhere and spend some time and pray. I'd seen a nice mall up there in Tallahassee, so I thought, well, I want to go walk and pray. I'm going back up there in that mall, and I'm going to just walk around and pray. Now, I'm not a nut. I'm not a fanatic. I didn't go down through there saying, oh, God save all these heathen and J.C. Penney's. Now, I just prayed in my heart. They didn't know what I was doing. They thought I was walking the cholesterol off. But I walked and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Went back to that church that night and it was a different story. You have not because you have not. Oh, so many places you can pray. And I'd love to just spend some more time there, but I need to get on. I'll hurry up and get on then. Next of all, there must be repetition. You said, no, preacher, Jesus said use not vain repetition. That's right, he said use not vain repetition, like the heathen do. We're not the heathen, number two. We're not using vain repetition. If you pray the same prayer several times a day, if you put your heart in it, that's not vain. And we can prove that with the word of God in Matthew 26, there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus left his disciples, went a little farther and fell on his face and said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Came, woke his disciples up, went back and prayed. Came, woke his disciples up again. You know what it says that third time? He left them. He went away again the third time, and prayed, saying the S-A-M-E words. Same words. You know he didn't use vain repetition. He was God. There's not a thing in the world wrong with you getting on your knees seven times a day or whatever position you pray in. So, oh God, please send mighty revival to our church. Oh God, Jesus' name. Bless my pastor this week. Help him as he studies. Give him the messages we need Sunday. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Keep the devil off of him. Put a hedge about him and his family. And keep the devil from coming through the hedge. Oh God, give us a move of God on Sunday. There's nothing wrong with you praying that several times a day. By the way, I hope you do that. It just pains me in the heart. It pains me in the heart. The way some church members criticize their pastor, yet they never do pray for him. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed. I don't talk. Hey, I can preach on this because I ain't no pastor. I'm a piece of an evangelist. I got a pastor. And I've got a pastor. Oh, I love my pastor. I love my pastor. Brother Tony Shane. One of the best Christians I ever met in my life. Sometimes you got more than one preacher in the church, you got problems because they get jealous of one another. But I honestly say I ain't jealous of my preacher. I love my pastor. I pray for him daily. We even pray together on the phone. I call him up and say, Brother Finney, can I have a word of prayer with you? Because I do believe that prayer is a part of my ministry. I just believe that strongly. And so I just pray with him on the phone. And we'll pray together in other places, see. But by the grace of God, I never talk about my preacher. I'm not going to do it. And if somebody comes up to me and criticizes my pastor, they're going to get rebuked. I'm not standing for that. I ain't going to put up with that. I love my pastor. I heard, next of all, there must be righteousness. I'm almost done. Must be righteousness. See, Jesus said in verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 14, 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, Jesus could have mentioned a number of things in relationship to prayer that'll hinder your prayers and hinder my prayers. But he touched on a vital one, a big one. That's an unforgiving spirit. Probably nothing in America has hurt our churches any more than hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness. That has probably hurt us far more than members in the churches getting drunk and getting in an awful sin of adultery. And it is awful. But I'm going to tell you what, that mean bad spirit that some people have towards one another. Dr. McElby, he knows this man real well that I'm fixing to mention because we've all been in meetings together. But the greatest Christian I ever met in my life, Brother Barry, was Dr. James W. Crumpton. He was the president of the Maranatha Mission Board, and he pastored Westside Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi for over 50 years, so that says something about him. But he was in a meeting one time, but it was dead. He prayed, he preached, nothing happened. But you know the Bible says, he that is spiritual judges, that means he discerneth all things. And Dr. Crumpton began to pick up on it. So he went to the pastor. He said, Pastor, there's something wrong in your church. There's something wrong in your church. Pastor dropped his head. He knew what it was. He said, Dr. Crumpton, just to be honest with you, I've got two ladies in this church that hadn't spoken to one another in 20 years. Folks, that grace quenched the Spirit of God. So Dr. Crumpton said, let's confront them in the service tonight, and they did. They went to the lady that was sitting in the pew, the other one was sitting at the piano stool. They went to that lady that was sitting in the pew, and they said, we understand you and Sister So-and-so up here at the piano hadn't spoken to one another in 20 years. It's killing this meeting. It's killing this church. It's got the Spirit of God grieved. Would y'all be willing to repent, to get right with one another and with God? The woman broke down and started crying. And she said, yes, yes. So they took her by the hand and took her to the lady at the piano. They walked up that lady at that piano, and Dr. Crumpton said, we understand that you and Sister So-and-so had a falling out 20 years ago, and you hadn't spoken to one another in 20 years. She's willing to get it right. Are you willing to get it right? And so help me. When he said that, that woman said, no! And when she did, folks, I ain't making it up. Boom! She fell off that stool dead as a hammer, just like that. See, the Bible means what it says when it says what it does. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. The Bible says there's a sin unto death. That's in 1 John 5. See, that's right. You and I better behave. God will take us out prematurely. Well, I hurry up and get on. Thank God, last of all, there be reward. But thou when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seest in secret shall reward thee openly. Now I can tell you story after story. True story. Stories that happened as a result of prayer when me and my wife would pray together and sometimes when I prayed by myself. But I will tell you one that several here are familiar with. Brother Jarvis, yeah, several of you. Brother Melton, Dr. Ed Maccabee, Brother Clifford Phillips. So if you think I'm lying, then here's plenty of verification right here. Because some people don't believe what I'm fixing to tell. Really, they don't. I just don't believe God can perform miracles anymore. But he can. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Same yesterday, today, and forever. I used to preach about every third year, the Cherokee County Camp Meeting over here, under a real low metal roof. And anybody who's preached in that meeting, Brother Barry just preached in that meeting, knows that it gets real hot. It's one of the best meetings I've ever preached in my life. I love to preach in that meeting. No complaints. But I had a heat stroke. When I was a teenager on the farm, we had to work hard. My daddy drove us and drove us. And they claim that after you have a heat stroke, from then on you have to watch it and get too hot. The first time I put that meeting down, then it goes Sunday night through Sunday night. By the end of the meeting, I was a zombie. I was just exhausted. See? So when it came my time, about 3 years later, I believe it was, to preach it again, it was extremely hot that summer. It wasn't like it was this summer. This summer's been mild compared to what some of them been. Boy, that thermometer was up there around 90, 95 degrees. I preached there on that Sunday night, late service, 9 o'clock, so it wasn't too bad. But I knew that Monday night we'd come back in there, it was going to be around 7, 7:30. And I knew I was in trouble because it was hot. I told my wife on that Monday, I said, honey, I'm not complaining, but I can't handle that heat. No, I wasn't complaining. I was just being truthful. I said, let's claim Matthew 18:19 again. I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done from them, my Father in heaven. I said, let's me and you get out here and let's pray for God to run that temperature down. I said, let's get out here and pray for God to run that heat down. So we got out there and we prayed. No, God, I'm not complaining, but God, in Jesus' name, run that heat down. God, you know I can't take that heat. You know I'm not physically able to take it. Run that heat down. We went on our way after a while. I said, let's pray again. We prayed again. Went on our way after a while. I said, let's pray again. Amen. You say, preacher, did you believe God was going to hear your prayer? I wouldn't have spent nearly all day praying if I didn't believe it. Yeah, I believe it. Sure, I believe it. When that weather forecast came on around 5:15, I wanted to see what they was going to say because it was obvious something was happening outside. Woo! I'm telling you something that happened, folks. That old forecaster came on, and I'll never forget what he said. You know what he said? He said, we've never seen anything like this in the history of giving a forecast. We've never seen the jet stream come this far south this early in the year. I knew what was going on. Yes. I believe I'll keep praying, amen. I got my van that I had back in those days and headed to Spartanburg, then to come on down to where the camp meeting was there, out from Jonesville. There used to be a big sign there with the temperature on it. I don't think it's there anymore. And I was coming through Spartanburg, came around that curve, started up that hill. I looked at that sign. It didn't say 90. It didn't say 95. It said 73 degrees. Woo! Woo! And we got down there to where the meeting was, and I didn't even notice it. It was Brother Phillips or somebody else noticed it and pointed it out to me, and I looked, and it was true. There was a cloud all over that area, and you could see the blue sky in every direction except over that tabernacle. Woo! Amen. I believe I keep praying, amen. Father in heaven, God, thank you that we're not praying to some dumb island. God, we're praying to you, the living and true God. Thank you, our God's real. Oh, God, thank you that you hear and answer prayer. Thank you for giving us liberty now in this service. God, I pray, bless everyone here. Please meet the spiritual needs of everyone here. God, help us to go home and pray. Father, help us when we pray to get an audience with you. And then help us to spend time adoring you and thanking you before we ask for a thing. Please help us, God, to put these principles into practice. Please, God, teach us how to really pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Jarvis.